Good morning, Mossvale Community Church, and welcome to church this morning. And a very warm welcome to those of you who have recently joined our online family here at Mossvale. On behalf of Pastor Hugh and myself, we would like you to know that we are here for you also, and we'd love to get to know you. So please don't hesitate to get in touch. Drop us a line. We would love to get to know you. So welcome everyone to church this morning. Before we come around God's word, let's just bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Father God, we thank you for a new day. We thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you that your word is life to us. We thank you also for your presence with us this morning. As we open up your word this morning, we pray that you would open up our hearts, open up our minds, our eyes, our ears. We want to see today. We want to hear from you today, Lord. So we welcome you by the power of your Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So over the last few months, as a leadership here at Mossvale Community Church, we've been meeting together several times a week, the pastors and elders, to pray and to seek God. We've been praying for our church here. We've been praying for direction and for protection over God's people, and we have thanked him for his many blessings to us as a church family. But what we've also been mindful to do in that time of prayer and seeking God is not only just to present our requests to God, but also to be still, to be silent. You see, Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, I cried out to the Lord, but it also says, and he answered me. God wants to speak to us. You see, sometimes we bring our requests to God and then we dash off. We rush off and we often miss those moments where God wants to speak to us. But we've moved on to the next thing on our to-do list, where God the Father wants to draw close to us and he wants to speak to us. He wants to speak directly to our hearts. And the last time I was here and I brought God's word to you, I shared with you the vision that God had given us as a church, as a leadership for the church here at Mossvale, and that vision of God's sanctuary, God's church, God's people being under reconstruction right now, that God is building his church, and at this time he is doing a work in us. There is some heart surgery going on right now during this time, and I wonder, are you allowing God to do that work in and through you, that transformation that I spoke about last time? Over the weeks during this pandemic that we've been facing, I've heard a lot of people say that, yes, a lot of what's going on in our world right now is tragic, and it is tragic. They have also said, though, that they have personally enjoyed a slower pace of life, that personally it's been a time to pause and to reflect and to ponder. I know personally that God has been teaching me about Selah moments just to be still in his presence, moments to pause, moments to listen, moments to pray. You see, often we go through life in a rush, don't we? And we quite often miss out on those treasured moments with the Father, where he wants us just to draw close to him, that he has something that he wants to reveal to you, something that he wants to share with you. Quite often we read the Bible too quickly. We skim over it. We become obsessed with reading it in 1 year, which is a good thing. I'm not saying that's not a good thing. However, not if it's rushed. Not if you're just skim reading it and you're not actually digesting it. It's important that we do not rush these most spectacular moments with God. It's important that we spend time to take the Selah moment to ponder and allow God to penetrate our heart and soul. God has given us a time, an opportunity right now to be still, to cease striving and know that He is God, to be in His presence, to lean into Him closer and hear from Him and be transformed by Him. Now, what I've been praying earnestly recently, not just for myself, but for all of us here during this time that we find ourselves in, is as things start to get back to normal, whatever that new normal will be, but as lockdown is eased and we move through the different stages and we start to get out and move about more, that we do not immediately jump right back on that treadmill of life again. That we don't just jump back on and lose everything that we've learned in this time. That know that all these precious moments that we've spent with the Lord in this time of slowing down and being still in His presence, that will carry on with us into our future and a new beginning. So perhaps God has been speaking to you personally in this time about slowing down, being still, taking the Salah moment and taking stock and pondering what is most important in life. Something else that has struck me during this time that we've found ourselves in is not only has God been spending time, we've been spending more time with God in prayer, but that we've been spending more time with each other. Yes, over the months, you remember we came out on a Thursday night in solidarity with our neighbours and we would clap for those NHS and care workers and we were coming together as neighbourhoods in unity and we were lingering. We were lingering and we were having conversations with our neighbours and we were asking people how we were doing. It was a wonderful time of getting to know each other, being able to spend time with our neighbours and share the gospel. We were given opportunities like that over recent months. And we as a church, well, we've seen incredible acts of kindness where you have made soup and you've donated food and that you've come in and you've wanted to give out and that we as a church have had an amazing opportunity to get out there recently in the community and to hand out food and to give out soups and be able to speak to our neighbours here in our community and show that wonderful love and kindness. And can we just say once again how grateful we are for all of your support, to the volunteers, for those of you that have donated food and made soups and given of your time. We are so grateful for that. I wonder, is that all part of the reconstruction that is going on, that God is revealing to us right now, church, what is most important? That we are to be love in action, that we are to love our neighbour. Romans 12, verse 9 to 13 says this: love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And in Mark 12, verse 31, that very well-known verse, love your neighbour, which is the second greatest commandment. We are called to love like Jesus. We are called to care for the needy, the widow, the orphan, the isolated, the hurting. I wonder, did we forget about that? How did that happen to us? Well, can I make one suggestion this morning? Busyness happened. It's not that we don't care. It's not that we don't want to help others, because we do. It's just that we didn't see the need because of busyness. We didn't see the needs because we were too busy and consumed with our lives, with our jobs, with our kids' clubs' activities, with our own ministries. The key word there being our, consumed by self. We are called to love, and busyness, church, kills love. Jesus told a parable about a man from Samaria. We know as the Good Samaritan. It's a story of loving kindness. We've recently studied it at Women to Women, our women's ministry here at Moss Vale. A man is lying battered and naked by the side of the roads, abandoned, left there for dead, basically. And two people pass him by and just ignore him. But the Good Samaritan stops. And it tells us in verse 33 of Luke chapter 10 that he saw the man and he felt compassion for him. He saw the man. He took time to stop, to see, and to show compassion. He got on his knees and with his own clothes, he bandaged this man's wounds up and he used his own money to find this man a safe place to rest and to heal. Now, it wasn't that this man didn't have things to do. I'm sure he was just as busy as the others that passed. However, the difference was he took the time and he took responsibility. You know, during this period of reconstruction, God is revealing to us about what is truly important, and that is to love God with all of our hearts and love others. Isn't that the greatest commandment after all? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Now, church, what I'm sharing with you this morning is nothing new. It's nothing new. You've heard all of this before. You're not going to grasp or hear something brand new today. It is a simple message today. It is the key Christian principles that I'm talking about. However, it may appear like a simple message to the church this morning, but what I'm sharing this morning, if we choose to live out this, we will see great things. We will see great things personally and in the life of our church. So I'll say it again, love is the key. Love is our highest priority. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. Let love be your highest goal. So perhaps this is a period where we have been spending time seeking God, not only for ourselves, but for the lives of our church members, our friends, and our family. It's a time where we've been spending time in prayer with God, asking God, what is most important? Perhaps we were too busy. Perhaps we were missing out in what was important. Maybe we had become stressed at work, stressed with life, focused on ourselves, on worldly things. The Bible tells us in Romans that we are not to be conformed by the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're not to live as the world. We don't need to live running on the treadmill of life like the world. Perhaps it's a time individually for us to change our focus, a time to reflect and a time to seek God for what is truly important. Let us use this time to throw off anything that would hinder us and the sin that entangles us. That's Hebrews 12, verse 1. And let's move forward with a renewed sense of purpose and identity and meaning. Let's go back to the greatest commandment, which is to love God with every part of our being, to give him the highest place in our hearts, in our lives. And let's love one another, truly love one another. Not just talk about it, not just talk about loving one another, not just praying about it, but actually doing it. Let's truly live it. Let's truly live love and see what happens. So that's what I believe that God is challenging us to in our personal walk. To, in this period of reconstruction, to ask the question, what is most important? However, I want to look also this morning at what God might be speaking to us as a church what He might be revealing to us as the bride of Christ, as the church that is currently under reconstruction right now. So I said earlier that this is not a new message. I'm sure you've heard many of these scriptures before. And as I pondered this, I realised that the foundations of the church are not new either. Yes, when we return to the church building, and we can't wait to do that, you will see physical changes. However, the key ingredients of the church still remain the same. What is most important in the life of the church remains the same. So I want to take you back this morning to the early church. We recently heard from Pastor Hugh about what took place at Pentecost in that upper room. And we heard that the disciples could do nothing until the Holy Spirit came. And men like Peter and John, well, they were transformed. We read about them preaching and healing and performing great miracles with boldness, because they had the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 4, we read that when the people saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Imagine if folk referred to you as a man or a woman that had been with Jesus. It was obvious to them that you had been with Jesus. Now, church, that is a compliment. How might we live our lives in such a way that all of those people around us know that we have been with Jesus, that the love of Jesus, that the light of Jesus, that the hope of Jesus, that the joy of Jesus is just oozing out of us. It's just pouring out of us, that is pouring out of our church, and that people look at us and they say, they are a people who are with Jesus, who have spent time with Jesus. Jesus would be seen in all that we say, in all that we do, in all that we are. So the church could do nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit, and nothing has changed. We need the mighty work of the Holy Spirit. We've been speaking a lot about that over recent weeks. We need to welcome Him. Ephesians 4 verse 30 simply puts it this way: do not grieve Him. Instead, we must welcome Him, pray to Him, embrace Him. So the Holy Spirit is key. It's important. It's pivotal in the life of the church, of the Christ believer. What else is most important in the life of the early church? Well, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 44, that they devoted themselves, the apostles, to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That was important in the life of the early church. So let's pick out a few points there. Dedicated to teaching. Church, we need to get in to the Word of God. Not just read it, not skim over it, but listen to it. Meditate on it. Study it. You know, I encourage folk that I'm discipling just to take one passage or even just one verse and read it in several different translations. Personalize it. Pray it over yourself. That's how you meditate on the Word. Ask God to speak to you through it. Pray as you read it and allow God to transform you by it. You know, we want to be a church here at Mossvale Community Church that teaches the Word of God and, most importantly, lives it out. Lives out the Word of God in our lives. Then we have the breaking of bread, communion, and we're going to do that together as a family at the end of the service. You know, it's important that we take that time to reflect, to remember, to ponder, and to give thanks to God for all that He has done and all that He has brought us through and all that He will do. And then we have prayer, and I've spoken at great length this year about the importance and the power of prayer. Prayer is so important in the life of a believer. And all of this can be summed up in one word, and that word is worship. God is looking for a people who will worship. John 4:23 says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks." Let us be that people here at Moss Vale, compelled to worship, quick to worship God. So yes, God is building his church, but we are part of that church. We're an important part of the body of Christ. In order to make the church beautiful and attractive and great so that many are drawn to us, we need to love God above all things. Put him first. Then we are commanded to love others, truly love others. We are to welcome the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to immerse ourselves in praise and in prayer and become a worshipping people, compelled, quick to worship. So I want to close with one other attribute of the early church, and I'm calling this section "Be a Barney." Now, I'm not talking about the purple dinosaur or having a good old fight. No, be a Barney. In Acts 4, we read more about the characteristics of the early church. It says, "All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and he brought the money to the apostles." Amen. So what do we learn here about the early church? Well, it tells us there that they were united in one heart and one mind. What is that? Well, that is a shared vision. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 29:18, "Without vision, the people, the children, perish." You know what I love about being part of the leadership here at Moss Vale is the shared vision, where we don't just come together, but we seek God together. And that doesn't just happen overnight. That comes through spending time together in prayer. And I told you at the beginning that the pastors and elders, we meet several times a week together and we pray together. We also read there in the passage about their act of loving kindness. That's that love and kindness that I shared earlier when Jesus shared that parable about the Good Samaritan. And here we hear that the apostles shared all that they had and they gave to others. No one who was in need was left abandoned to struggle. And there was one apostle in particular who's mentioned there, and his heart was full of compassion, overflowing with compassion, and his name was Barnabas. Barnabas. He was not one of the most well-known apostles. You don't hear about him that often, but there is so much that we can learn from this man of God about how to be a Christian, how to live the Christian life, how to be love in action, how to show compassion and be a Barney ourselves. First of all, we learn that his name, Barnabas, means son of encouragement. And this man truly lived up to his name. Well, I say his name, for his real name is actually Joseph, but the apostles had nicknamed him Barnabas because that meant son of encouragement. It was an Aramaic expression. They called him that because that was his nature. That was his personality. Barnabas was an encourager. He was a life enhancer, someone who brought the best out in others. Do you know someone like that in your life? A life enhancer, someone that's encouraged you, supported you, spoke words of encouragement and support and affirmation into your life. You know, our elder Danny a few weeks ago talked about the company that we are to keep. And be careful of that company. You know, we are to surround ourselves with people like Barnabas, life enhancers, those that will encourage us in our Christian walk, like Barnabas. And we too are called to be like that, to be a Barnabas ourselves. So what was going on here at this time? Well, we read that the people were in need. The people in Jerusalem were in need. And Barnabas gave up his land. He sold it and he shared what he'd made from the land with others. And it tells us there that everybody had enough because of this sharing and showing compassion. Let's just pause there for a moment. This man was obviously financially secure. He had some financial resource. He had property and land, and he didn't have a wife or children, but he sold his land. And it says he gave it away. Now, it doesn't say that he sold it and kept the majority for himself and then gave 10% away. It doesn't say that he gave 50% away. You know, it tells us there, and the ancient language refers to it being all of his money. He gave away everything that he had to the poor in Jerusalem. So it's safe to say that Barnabas was generous. And he took responsibility for the needs of others, for the needs of those around him. You know, when we look out at the world around us and we see tragedy and we see pain and we see need, quite often we can become overwhelmed by that. I know I can at times. And we think, well, it's too big, God. I can't fix the world, so I can't do anything. Well, God's not actually calling you to sort and fix all the needs of the world. He isn't. He's just calling us to make a difference in the sphere of influence and where we've been planted. To go to work where we've been planted. To bloom where we've been planted. That's where God has called you. So do the work where you're at. So it was a time when no one went without. People like Barnabas gave what they had. But not only did people not go without, the Bible tells us it was a time where the church grew. It grew and it spread. And it wasn't a time like now where there was online services that were being broadcast to the many. It spread quickly. So how did the church spread? Well, Andy Stanley, a well-known Christian pastor and author in America, he asked that same question. How did the early church spread so quickly? And he answered his own question by saying it was through the power of generosity. You see, it was a time where nobody gave something for nothing. You expected something in return. Maybe a bit like the world in which we live in today, but the apostles did. They gave, they were generous, they shared, they loved, and they expected nothing in return, a bit like the Good Samaritan that Jesus spoke of. He gave without expecting anything from this poor man that was lying battered and naked by the road. And it was at this particular time when they were just giving and loving and sharing that the church grew. And the gospel message of Jesus Christ, it grew. This love, this generosity, it was contagious. And people were just drawn to it. The people wanted more. They wanted to know, what was it about these people? What was it about this Jesus that was compelling and propelling them to acts of love and kindness? God was seen in everything that they were doing. God was highlighted in these acts of love and kindness. They were highly regarded by others. They were known for it. They were known by those around them, those non-believers, for their acts of loving kindness. We read that in Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. I'll read it to you now. The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. But no one else dared to join them. even though all the people had high regard for them. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord. Crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and on mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and the possessed, and they were all healed. Amen. I wonder, do the people around us, do the people around Mossvale Community Church, do they see Jesus in us? Are we known by the way that we love? Are we known as a church, as a people who are generous? Are people around us left wanting more of Jesus after spending time with us? Do they want to know all about this Jesus that we sing about, all about this Jesus that we love, all about this Jesus that we put first, but most importantly, all about this Jesus that propels us to acts of loving kindness? Let's be a generous, loving people. You know, the ancient Hebrew word that is of interest to us today is tzedakah. It's translated in many places in the Bible as righteousness, but it's also used in other places to mean justice. Yes, justice. In particular, justice for those who are poor and needy. It's used in Psalm 82, verse 3, where it says, "Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed," or the poor and the needy. So it's more, church, than just being generous and charitable. The issue of the poor is a vital one. And when I say poor, I don't just mean poor without money. We're talking about people who are in need physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. So we're not just to be generous because we want to do a good thing. We are being called to do the right thing. Church, let us be like Barnabas. Not only do good, but do, church, what is right. So Barnabas had many great qualities. And sadly, I don't have time today to go into all that is mentioned about Barnabas in the Bible. But it's safe to say that he was an encourager. He showed compassion. He supported his brothers and sisters. In fact, he spoke up for the Apostle Paul when Paul first came to be with the other brothers, to come and join the other disciples. If it hadn't probably been for Barnabas standing up for him, Paul would never have been united with the other brothers in Christ. He also showed great faithfulness in the partnership with the other apostles. He faithfully served Christ with his brothers and sisters. However, what we can take today from his life and his service was that he was an encourager. He took responsibility and he cared for the needs of others. He gave all that he could. And as a consequence of that, no one went without and the church grew. And I believe, church, that we are living in a time right now where God has allowed us to slow down, to stop, to ponder, to pray, and realign our hearts with what is most important. Yes. So let's wrap up today. This is a very, very unique time in which we're living in right now. Yes, we've seen so much tragedy. We've heard of loss and pain throughout the world. But we've also been presented with an opportunity, church. An opportunity to lean into God, to come close to God and to listen to him and open our hearts and minds to him and allow him to change us, transform us, renew us. It is a period of reconstruction and we want to ensure as a church that we complete successfully that period of reconstruction, that we don't rush on ahead like the racehorse. That we don't just immediately jump back on the treadmill or the hamster wheel, if you prefer that one, but that we carry with us everything that God has shared with us in this time, and we continue to take that time to place God the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit first on the throne of our hearts. God is saying to us today that busyness that stress and being consumed by self, well, that is what prevents us from truly living the purpose-filled, spirit-filled life that we've been called to. We do want to be transformed. We want to emerge from this time as a church and individuals stronger, bolder, equipped, ready and prepared for what's ahead, for there is much ahead. Greater is yet to come. So in order to do that, God is highlighting a few things to us this morning. Number one then, the true meaning of life is love. It's our highest goal. We have to love the Lord our God first with all that we are and all that we have. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, very well known passage about love. And it says in verse 13, three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Number two, we can do nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. We need him. We must embrace him, welcome him, invite him in. Don't grieve him. Love him. Speak to him. He is for you. Number three, not only is the true meaning of life love, the true meaning of the church is love. Nothing has changed. Jesus, on the night before he was given up for death, he broke bread, which we're about to do shortly, and he spoke to those, his nearest and dearest, those that he loved, and he chose to share in that moment these very important words. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." We will be known as his disciples. We will be known as Christ followers. We will be known as the church by the way that we love. Finally, number four, be a Barney. Be a Barnabas, a life enhancer, a supporter of others, an encourager. Be generous in that love, just like the early church, who devoted themselves to each other, to prayer, to communion, to teaching, to discipleship, to loving one another. They had a shared vision. They shared all that they had, like the Good Samaritan. They saw the needs of others, and they took responsibility, and they acted in love. And we are to do the same. We can be like Barnabas. We can love like the early church. But I believe, church, if we truly, truly grasp this very simple message today, then we will see revival. We will see hearts and minds change. We will see men, women, and children hungry for Jesus. We will see people asking the question, what is it about those people? What is it about that church? They love without expecting anything in return. And it will set a fire in people's hearts. And people will be drawn to the cross of Jesus Christ. And they will be drawn to the love that is just oozing and pouring out of us. And they'll ask the question, I want to know this Savior. I want to know Jesus Christ personally, not just through that person, but my own deep and personal relationship with Jesus. Because love in action, sharing, being generous and open about our faith and sharing that with others, it is that which will lead to revival. So let's be a people that love. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your living word. We thank you that you are speaking to your people this day. Thank you for this time, Lord, that you've allowed us to reevaluate what is most important in our lives. Thank you, God, that you so loved us, that you sacrificed all for us. Forgive us, Lord, when we fail to love you with all of our heart and when we fail to love others. Forgive us, Lord, for being so consumed by our own self. We choose to put you first this day. We want to be like Barnabas, that we would all be life enhancers, encouragers, supporters, and may we show that great love powerfully in great acts of love. And as we respond in love, may we see revival of men and women returning to the one true God. So now, to him who is love. Fill each and every one of our hearts today with that love. In Jesus' name. Thank you for being with us for church this morning.